Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege that God has allowed us to come together one more time as we explore the Word of God together. Tonight, our lesson is John, 2 John. Last week, we did 1 John. And the message of this letter is concerning truth and love. Truth and love. And I want you to be mindful of that. As always, we look at the Word of God. And as we search the Word of God, we are looking for something that we could hold on to and something we know more about living and what God expects of us. And each writer of the Bible was inspired by God. And God has put everything in His Word for us to be able to live a righteous life. You know, God never asks us to do anything without providing provision. You know, He knew that in this world where evil would be prevalent, you know, because there's good and evil, and this world has things of the world inside of it, and we live in the world. But the Word teaches us that we are in the world, but our job is to not just be a part of the Word. In other words, using the world standard as our compass. But the body, the Bible, the Word of God should be our moral compass. You know, if you accept Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. But how you make it in this life determines who you allow to lead and guide you. And it should be the Holy Spirit that God has indwelled in us once we receive. So I want you to just keep in mind, you know, we could go over these lessons week after week after week after week. Some of the information we retain, some of it, you know, get lost by the wayside. But the ultimate decision depends on you. What you do with the Word, not just being a hearer, but becoming a doer, and how fast and how far you go within the Word of God, it depends on you. Always remember that you're not doing God a favor. You're coming to receive something that can enhance your life, something that you can recognize what God has done for you and love on Him. His Son and His Spirit. As always, I'm going to play a song. And once I play the song, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to lead us in a prayer, you could press the one button. God has given the opportunity for all of us to partake. So I'm going to play this song and, I believe it's a good song for the lesson tonight because all of us have went this way in our lifetime. And, oh, what a change happened when we met Christ. So the title of the song is Once in a Lifetime. Once the song is through playing, we're going to come and explore the Word of God together.
Dream so big
made a mountain look small. Couldn't wait till I had it all. Closer I get, the more distant I feel. The more I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. Suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts. And I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, find a love you know is real. Once in a lifetime, find something that makes your songs live. Once in a lifetime, find a friendship that's worth the wait. And once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. I used to think that it was the trophies on my wall. Thought if I'd won, then I'd have it all. I couldn't wait till everybody knew my name. I had my own ideas of fame. Closer I get, the more distant I feel. The more that I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. And suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts. Can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, you find a love you can't let go. And once in a lifetime, you find the purpose to live on. Once in a lifetime, you find the meaning of your dreams. And once in a lifetime, you find the one who gives life meaning. Once in a lifetime, you find the love you know is real. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your soul live. Once in a lifetime, you find a friendship that's worth the wait. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. Oh, once in a lifetime, I found the best thing I know. Once in a lifetime, there's no kind of letting go. Once in a lifetime, I wouldn't change a single thing. Once in a lifetime, you make my whole world sing. Oh, I'll never look beyond your love again, 'cause I know what I found is true. Though I've searched in every place to find the thing that makes life complete, now I know, Lord, that thing is you.
And that was Once in a Lifetime. You know, as I listen to the words in the song and the love, the real love that he knows. You know, God is all about love, even love with our loved ones, our children, our husbands, our boyfriends, spouses, our neighbors, you know, and everything. If you think about the person that you love the most, or you love greatly, a person, just think about all that you do to try to please that person, to try to help that person, to always be available when that person needs you, to give whatever that person needs, if you have it, to give joyfully to that person. So I just ask you to stop and think, if you could do that for a person, what more, how you should treat your relationship with your maker. The one that is taking care of you in the past, taking care of you now, plan to take care of you in the future and bring you all the way through eternity. What do we owe unto him? Would be a question. Think about it. And many of you may be the type of person that love hard, that have no limitation on what they would do, how they would do it, when they would do it for the one they love. And our lesson tonight is love and truth, and John is telling us that God is pure love. And all that he's done shows his love. And he just wants us to love him and love each other. It's a love letter, y'all. So at this time, we have to go to the throne of grace. And anyone who would like to lead us in prayer can press the one button on your phone. I'll open the mic, and you could pray. If not, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Lord, and for that I just say thank you. I thank you, dear God, for being all that there is. The essence of all of our beginnings. The essence of all of our endings. Lord, I thank you for that. Working it out for our good. I thank you for leading and guiding us into the things that are best for us. I thank you for your Son, dear God, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of the callers that came in, and I'm asking a special blessing on their life, dear God. Allow favor to just walk in front of them in every situation. Hallelujah. Let them begin to dance with mercy. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm asking that you allow them to have the blessings that they are needing. Lord, I realize some may need one thing and some will need another thing. But Lord, no matter what the need is, you say you would supply all of them. Someone that's going through, dear God, you say you could give them peace that will surpass understanding. Lord, you told them in the midst of the trials and the tribulations that may be happening in their lives that your joy still can be full. Lord, I'm asking you that you them and lead them and guide them and speak to them, dear God, and circumcise their hearts. Open up their minds, dear God. Open up their eyes. They can see what the word of God is saying, that they can hold on to the confession of their faith, that they could share your word with someone else, and that they would always, we, not they, but we, will always give you the glory. Heavenly Father, we realize that Satan is real, and he's not going to go away. But thank God for Jesus, our protector, our Lord, the great I am, that we can make it. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I honor you. Thank you for Wednesday night Bible study, dear God. Thank you for all of the books of the Bible that we've been studying and all of the chapters and verses that the people have been reading, dear God. And thank the Holy Ghost for the illumination that has taken forth. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, dear God. If I had 1,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough. And, Lord, I pray that I continue to give you praise and honor because the scripture says if a person, your children don't give you honor, the rocks is going to cry out. Thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight our lesson is coming out of the book of 2 John. I pray that everyone had an opportunity to read it. It was only one chapter. And remember the books of John, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, there in James, there were letters, just like all of Paul writing, the 13 epistles of Paul were letters. And tonight, 2 John is a letter also. One of the differences about the letter tonight is that John was writing to a person or something else, and we'll see when we get into the lesson. You see, the background that I have for you tonight is that the author of the book is the Apostle John. As we said on last week, John is the writer of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. You see, early Christians received the second epistle of John when he was old in age and in the latter quarter of what they call the first century, letter as an elder. And it is certainly the last living apostle at this time. You see, when John wrote this letter, all of the apostles, the disciples, had been killed, martyred. So you can imagine John being one of the last eyewitnesses of Jesus, you know, dead, burial, and resurrection, who walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus. So he coming to tell you the story about the man named Jesus. You know, he had first-hand information. So the early Christians really looked up to John because of this. You see, even among the rest of the early Christians, the numbers of those who actually seen Jesus were dwelling down only a few. It will be not long until no one will be left from the generation which had the witness, who had witnessed our Savior teaching, ministry, miracles, and just a clean, sinless life. I don't know if you ever thought about it. You know, it came a time when nobody who actually witnessed Jesus when he walked the earth would be gone. You know, if we look at 1 John, 2 John has a formal characteristic of a true letter. You see, there was a sender and a recipient, and are identified and a greeting, typically an ancient letter. You know, these was the qualification that an ancient letter had. So that's why I say 1 John was different from 2 John in that aspect, and 3 John is like 2 John. You see, this letter was written to emphasize the basics for following Christ in truth and love, which is our title tonight, and to love others as you love yourself. And the other part of the letter was, again, to warn against false teachers. You know, if we looked at the last letters we've been studying, false teachers has appeared in each one of that. So you need to take hold to that and realize they're going to be a lot of sheep in wool clothing. And you have to watch out. You have to be on guard. And if you don't know the truth, then you might accept what they're telling you. How can you know what they're saying is a lie if you don't know the truth? And that part is available for you. It's your responsibility. So you can rightly divide the word of truth. You see, love and truth, which is the message of this book, was frequently discussed in our world, but is seldom practiced. You see, if we look at our politicians, companies, or those who advertise or promote something, or those who conveniently ignore or conceal facts and use words to enhance their position or sell products. Y'all know about any of that? Perjury is common in our society, and integrity and credibility are endangered species. Words twisted in meaning and torn from text has become mere tools for ego building. People are saying anything to make themselves look good. Y'all see people on the news. You all see people on the news every day lying, outright lying. And they are so, you know, when they told the lie that they say they didn't say. But it's happening every day. You know, it is not surprising that when we go in the court, we have to take an oath. They say swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But I come to tell you tonight, that does not always work either. When we look at the word love, see, that part I was, you know, breaking down in the background, something about truth. You know, the Bible say the truth makes us free. And if you know anything about the truth stands alone. You don't add or subtract from the truth. The truth is the truth. Jesus is the true Son of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus was man and fully God. That's what John talked about all in his lesson last week. And he tell you, if someone is not teaching that God is Jesus, Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's not one. It's not a message of a doctrine of the Holy Bible. They told you, watch out for them. Because you remember we talked about last week the Antichrist with a small A and the Antichrist with a large A. Hallelujah. They're going to be one major Antichrist. But anybody who don't believe is anti anything. We talked about anti being is whenever anti is in front of a word, it's against whatever the word is attached to. Somebody who don't believe the truth. If we look at love, love is a four letter word. You see, our world is filled with this word. We have love songs, love greeting cards, media, consulates, romantic novels. They all showers up with us with the dream of love. Everyone is looking for love and to be loved. Hallelujah. Everybody wants that one special love, you know. But you see, real love, however, is selfless giving, caring, sharing, and even willing to die for others. So if we want to look at the greatest example of love, we have to stop and say Jesus is the epitome of love. He is truth and love in the person, in his person, and God in the flesh. John has seen truth and love firsthand. He had been with Jesus. You see, and with John walking with Jesus and seeing the truth and love, realizing that Jesus was the incarnated God and realizing that the Holy Ghost would come and indwelt in them and that there was a Trinity, even though the word is not in the Bible, which represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, John was right there firsthand. You see, he had been with Jesus, and it affected him so much that all of his writings are filled with this theme, that love are vital to a Christian life. So I ask you tonight, as you reflect on these few paragraphs that I pray that you read from this age old John, the one who was in a circle with Jesus, and when Jesus' mother died, he told John to take his mother, not his brothers. And the same John who wrote, who God allowed to pen the book of Revelation. If you read his writing, you could take it as truth. And if you read his words, I just ask you to recommit yourself to being a person of truth, of love, and obedience. So we're going to do the scriptures now. And the scriptures, we start with 2 John. 1st chapter, it only had one, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the scriptures reads as follows. Elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwells in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in love and truth and love. He starts his letter out calling himself the elect, and they say he's writing to the elect lady and her children. I guess that kind of got some of you off, and I can understand why. But what is really happening is, John did not identify himself by name in this letter, but he did adopt the term elder for himself. You see, John began his second epistle with these words, to the elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. The apostle identify himself as elder. You see, elder is a title that reflects both age, and he was old at the time of his writing, and his authority in the early church. You see, this was a letter that was written in sincere love, because the word truth and love are found 5 times each in the first 6 verses. I don't know if you picked up on that. That's why I named the session tonight, Truth and Love. You see, the book of 2 John is addressed to a chosen lady and her children. Now, if you do any research on this, this could either have been addressed to a chosen woman and her children, either had been, let me say it another way. This letter could really be written to a lady. You know, we don't have the name. We don't know who she was. We don't know if she was a Jew. We don't know if she was a Gentile. But from the writing, if it was a lady, she was a lady of the church. And she would have important standing in the church, because he calls her elect, which means chosen. But out there's other scholars who believe this letter is a metaphor, a code, as a chosen lady, using a chosen lady to represent a church and its women and its members. Let me go back. So what I say was saying all of that. It was either a lady, he was writing to, or he was writing to a church in a congregation. You see, in them days, when Christians was being persecuted, there were many codes being used often in their writings. You know, sometimes they wouldn't use their name because they didn't want to, you know, be persecuted even more or killed. Regularly in the scriptures, Israel or the church is designed and spoke of and designated as a woman. You know, they call Israel, let her have her way. Israel, her, the woman. You know, it's often used when they were talking about the church. And that's why some scholars may believe that it was written for the church, written to a church, and it just was coded. So you could do you some research and you decide which one it is. But you know, no matter who it was written to, tonight we are studying the message of the letter. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus come back, he says he's coming back for his bride, which is the church. Not the church building, but the church. And a bride is a woman. So that's how they got it. You know, and plenty of times when writers, especially in the Bible, you know, they always talked about fellowship and family imagery. It's all more appropriate, you know, to use children, like he said, in a woman and her children, to describe the church and its members. So you have to, you know, read it because it's two strong arguments, not arguments, but two strong opinions about who the lady, the elect lady, is. Was she a church? Was she an actual lady? Or was they talking about the church and the congregations would have been the children? But I tell you right now, don't concentrate on the messenger or the one who received the message, but the message that is given, and we'll be all right. And if we look at verse 4, 5, and 6, it say, I rejoice greatly, hallelujah, that I found of thy children walking in truth. John saying, he writes them, he said, you know, I feel good that y'all walking in truth and that you receive the commandments from the Father and you still holding on to them. And 5, he said, now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And 6 said, and this is love, that ye walk after the commandment. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in. John was glad to see that they was walking in the truth and following the commandments given to them by the Father. You see, John knew this was nothing new to his readers. How many times you tell your children something over and over, but you continue to say it and hope they get it? So he was repeating the themes. You know, it wasn't that new, he told them. He said, I told you this in the Gospel of John. I spoke it to you in first John, and now I'm writing to you in second John, and the message is the same. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is our way maker. Jesus is the great I am. You can't get to the Father unless you go through the Son. Jesus is God. in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And all three makes one. You say it's not new. Yet because it is so essential, John is saying, I had to repeat it and use this as a reminder. You see, as we get closer to the end of the writing of the Word of God, the Bible, we see that the writers take time to review, repeat, and reiterate what has already been said. And y'all gonna be really, it's gonna be really exciting in Revelation when we get that, because you're gonna see it ain't nothing new that's even said, you know, even though there's gonna be a lot of imageries and symbols. But you pay attention, because you see the time is getting short, y'all. We studied from Genesis and we in 2 John, y'all. And then we just had 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. So you got to imagine when the Bible was being written, and in the beginning when they began to teach, in the beginning when Jesus walked, and then when Jesus died and became our Savior, the wording and the teaching changed to let you know who, what Jesus had done for you. Now, you see, that's all been said. That's why John tonight could say it ain't nothing new. You see, it's all been said. And what they're doing is reiterating, and they're reminding you, because they know their time is going out. So they want to tell you what they think is necessary for you, because they're not going to be able to keep saying it. You know, and at the bottom line of all of them, the integrity of our Christian life can be measured by our love for one another. You know, love is really the essence of all of this, y'all. Because if you truly learn how to love, could you imagine how the world would be? Could you imagine? And we had verse 7 and 8. And it said, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. You know, they say the people believe that didn't come in the flesh, but that was that Jesus was only a spirit, so he didn't die, so the resurrection don't count. He didn't have to resurrect, because if he wasn't in the flesh, why would he? He wouldn't have died a physical death. You know, they twist it up all kind of ways. But you got to know for yourself, y'all. You see, and it says, this is a deceiver and an antichrist, small a. Anyone that's against Christ is antichrist. They're not the antichrist. They are antichrist, but they're not the main antichrist with a capital A. And I told you for an example, when the Bible, when you see spirit with a small s, a spirit with a large s, spirit with a large s, it's usually the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And, you know, there's other spirits. And 8 said, look to yourself, that we lose not those things which we wrought. Wrought mean worked for. Wrought is a work. But that we receive a full reward. Look what he's saying. For they are many deceivers. They're going to come in the world. They're going to confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself that you lose not those things which you wrought, but that you receive a full reward. The great danger of deceitful leaders is that they seem so sincere and believable. They are not easy to spot in a crowd. They are attractive. Otherwise, how could they gather people to themselves? He then goes on to say, you got to be careful not to lose the work that you have done so that you can receive your full reward. Now watch this. this reward and this is not referring to your salvation, which is your greatest reward, but to this reward is for your service. It's how you love one another, how you gave to the needy, how you had a kind word, sometimes just a word of encouragement for somebody that needed it. Hallelujah. You know, not all the time it's got to be money. You know, it could be a kind word. It could be a prayer. How many prayers you sent up for somebody? How many people you shared the word of God with? How many times you gave to the needy? How much of your time are you giving to God? You think you got it going on and everything is going so good. You could be in love and somebody loving you and this and that, just like that song was on, Once in a Lifetime. You got to realize we have to realize it's where our true source come from. And I'm not telling you not to enjoy your life. Because God said, I want you to have a life that is more abundant. And he said, I'm going to give you your heart's desire. He knew your hearts wasn't going to just desire Jesus, 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 the word, that you was going to want things. He already knew that. So it's not about not living a full, enjoyable, joyous life. But you got to put Jesus at the head of everything in your life. So when he talk about the reward, you see, remember, only what we do for Christ will last. And for this, I had to go to scripture, and I found 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 12 through the 15. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 12 through 15. And it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. And 13 say, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Come on, y'all. If any man's work abide, which he has built upon, shall receive the reward. And 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he should suffer loss. Watch this. But he himself shall be saved. Yet so by fire. And, you know, this point is being cleared and cleared about the rewards of God and in the judgment seat of Christ, where Christians is going to go. You're not going there to determine if you're saved. I have so many Christians telling me all the time they wish they make it in. And we got to wish in a sense, but at some point, you got to know you're going to make it in. God say, take this yoke upon me because my burdens is light. God does not want you walking around burdened. You accept his son. You confess your sins, and you are saved. And when we go to judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be for our rewards. So what John said, he said, look to yourself, verse 8, that we lose not those things that we have wrought. He's saying, judge what you're doing. If you're using all your time for the world, that work is going to be burnt up because it can't last because it's not the things of God. Hallelujah. If you spend all your money and you don't give, thing you bought with that money, you know that's going to burn up. But if you took and you was a good steward over the money that God has given you, and you know, if you're in church and you believe in paying your tithes You believe in helping the poor and giving to the mission. You see, only what you do for Christ, that's what you mean. That's what that means. The things of God that you do it earnestly, and you do it with your whole heart, not grudgingly, and not to receive something from man, or you know, you doing it to look good or whatever. That's what's going to last. Even after I did that one, I had to get another scripture because he said, don't let it go away. And then this scripture told us how it'll go away. But this is the one, this scripture here, Matthew 6, verse 1 through 4. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. I hope y'all have y'all Bibles, because this Bible study, and you really could turn around to the chapter in the pages if you have, you know, a desire to. But with this verse here, look what he said. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. He said, take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen. So what he's saying, Matthew, this is Jesus talking and teaching. He said, don't do it as you're doing it unto men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of the Father which is in heaven. So you think, you know, John is saying that he's telling you be cautious because this is what's going to happen. And that second verse say, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, alms means to give, do not sound a trumpet before thee as a hypocrite, because that's what the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. If you're doing everything to be seen, it don't count. If you're doing everything, you know, if everything you do to make yourself look good, it won't last. Because look what he said, verily I say unto you, that there we will reward anybody who do that. Come on, y'all, watch this. Their reward, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You're going to have your rewards here on earth, or they're going to go with you in eternity. Hallelujah. Because some people say, I don't care as long as I'm saved. You ought to want to be saved with some rewards. You ought to be able for God to say, thy faithful servant, well done. He's saying, the next scripture said, but when thou do it alms, when thou do good, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand is doing. I know y'all have heard that before. And folks say, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's word, y'all. That's word. And number 9, verse 9 through 13, it say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. And then it goes on to say, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. You remember when they asked him, they were talking about they wanted to see God. Jesus said, when you're looking at me, you see the Father. So wasn't he saying, I and the Father are one? John 1 and 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. They say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. And don't ask me to explain it, you know, any better, and I'm using the words, because this is one of the hardest things in the world to explain. That's why it takes belief. And what you got to believe? The truth. And what is the truth? The word of God. You could be and make it true. They say in the beginning was the word. They say that Jesus is God in the flesh. Come on now. He either is or he ain't. And a word is either true or it's a lie. Jesus said, he that abide in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And verse 10 say, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him good speed. And when I read that, the only thing I could think about is the Jehovah's Witnesses. They come, they knock on your door. They want to know if they could come in and study with you. But I could tell you one thing. I don't know why people let Jehovah's Witnesses in and they study with them. And, you know, they really feel, people really feel in their heart that is no harm because they're talking about the word of God. But if you know what their message is, or either some people may think they're going to convert to Jehovah's Witness. But I've seen more Christians converted to Jehovah's Witness than Jehovah's Witnesses been converted to Christians. Look what John said. This not Diane. He said, let me see, I got to back up. But he said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Another group of people was the Mormons. You know, these people don't have messages that you want. John is telling you don't entertain them and don't let them in your house. Jehovah's Witnesses ain't letting you in their house. They will not even step their foot in your church. They don't even want to go to their parents' funeral if it's in a church. So you know they're anti-Christian. You know they're anti-Christ. And you know to some degree what they believe. He said, don't let them in your house. And don't bid them Godspeed. I'm not telling you to be mad with the people, even if they give you a tract and you take it. And you might read it. But you're not just entertaining it with them back and back one-on-one. Let me show you this. You show me this. What are y'all trying to accomplish? They're trying to get you to believe them because they sent out not to believe you. And verse 11 says, for he that abideth him, God's speed is partakers of his evil deeds. Because when you bid them Godspeed, you know, it's almost like you touching and agreeing. Be careful. And 12 say, had many things to write unto you, I would not write this paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be 13. He said, the children of the elect sister greet thee. Amen. Now, if it's a lady, it's a sister, children saying to tell her hello because they may live where he lives. And if he's writing it to the congregation, you know, he's sending them greetings as well. But you take time, you study. And both of them, you know, either one, it doesn't matter because we studied the message. Hallelujah. With that being said, John is able to write these words because in the Gospel of John, Jesus was teaching and he said these words and John was sitting right there taking it in. Hallelujah. So See, so in John, the book, the Gospel of John, I guess is the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. Jesus is talking, and he's talking to somebody. And these are the words that he's saying. John was listening. Hallelujah. That's how John could write this message about truth and love. Because he was sitting at the feet of Jesus in John, the gospel which John wrote, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. Jesus said unto him, whoever he was talking to, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming unto the Father but by me. He is saying, once you receive the Son, you also gain the Father. When he said in that verse, he said, he that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. In our lesson tonight, that was in verse 9. So, see, John could write that because he was setting that Jesus when Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming unto the Father but by me. You know, he's saying once you receive the Son, you gain the Father. John then said, if someone is not bringing this message and doctrine, receive him not into your home. I bid him Godspeed. That's our lesson for tonight. And I want to let each and every one of you know the Holy Ghost had his way, because it was a very short book. And I had to figure how to come, and the Holy Ghost had his way tonight. I don't have any doubt about it. So I pray that each and every one of you receive something you could use, that you could hold on to. You see, John is saying, ain't none of this new. Ain't nothing I'm saying tonight has not been said. We just have to hold on. In love and truth, the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And in our lesson today, that was the man focused, and the other one was watch out for pretenders. That's our lesson for tonight. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And at this time, if anyone would have anything to say, could add to the lesson, words of encouragement, would like to pray, would like to sing, would like to ask a question, want to know the scriptures that was given out tonight because you couldn't write them down, press the one button at this time. Well, since there's no one need to say anything, or anything like that, y'all know the next book is the book of 3 John, and it's also one chapter. And I, again, are asking everyone to read the entire book of 3 John. I want to just say thanks to each and every one of you as we explore the Word of God together. Started on this journey together in January, starting with the book of Genesis, and we didn't stop. We stayed focused. We stayed committed. We kept going. And it is my desire that each and every one of you may have learned something that you didn't. I have a better understanding of the Bible, and you don't have to tell me. I know the Bible seems small, and it doesn't seem so intimidating as we go through it. And for that, I say thank God. Thank God. So I'm going to go ahead and close with a short prayer and a benediction combined. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back again on next week. I love each and every one of you. And I'm just so excited how God could take that book, the 2 John, and gave a message unto me for you like that. all I can say is thank you, Holy Ghost. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your word as it went forth. Lord, I know your word will not return void. Holy Spirit, I have to say kudos unto you because you showed up and you showed off and you provided me with everything you wanted for your people. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you as we went through the books of the Bible and as we continue to go, and if it's your will, we will finish the books. But Holy Ghost, continue to be with us. Continue to guide us. Let us get precept upon precept and learn how to rightly divide the word of truth for ourselves and give us a reason to recommit, as it said in the lesson, and let us know even more God. It's all about knowing God and His Son and His Spirit. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be together one more time. And if it's your will, dear God, we'll meet back again on next week. And for that, I can say thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Ghost. All this in Jesus' name, amen. I guess some people say why God is not allowed us to pray in Jesus' name and not in God's name. Well, I just got this little epiphany little thing. You know, God is not jealous, because when you say in the name of Jesus, you're saying God. Hallelujah. When you're saying Holy Ghost, you're saying God. There's three in one. That's why they can work and operate like that. And each one does what they do well for us. So as I leave tonight, I want you to remember and ask that you grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, henceforth, and forevermore, I pray that God be with you until we meet again. That's our program tonight for tonight. And I can guarantee you, if you take care of God's business, He will take care of yours. Good night and be blessed.